Imagine, it is September 20th, 2026.
Okay.
You're staring at 50 candles on a birthday cake. The room is quiet. You know, the big milestone is finally here.
The big 5-0.
Exactly. But right behind you, like glowing on your monitors, is a fleet of 50 automated web tools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're just humming away in the background. They're ranking in search engines. They're generating leads. It's basically a digital printing press that you built entirely from scratch.
That is, that's quite the image.
Right. And today we have exactly 132 days to make that scenario your actual reality.
It completely reframes what the next few months are about, honestly, because, you know, building that reality isn't just a matter of wishing for it.
No, definitely not.
And it certainly isn't a matter of just working harder. Yeah. Like, it requires a fundamental rewiring of how you operate on a daily basis.
Which is exactly why we're here. So welcome to today's deep dive, specifically tailored for you as you step out your front door and embark on what is arguably the most monumental personal and professional sprint of your life.
No pressure.
Right. Today is Monday, May 11, 2026. You're on your daily walk and, well, we are your companions. We have this massive, incredibly detailed operating playbook in front of us. Mm-hmm. And our mission today is to extract the absolute core of this strategy for you.
Yeah. And the central challenge laid out in your playbook is, I mean, it's massive.
It really is.
It's all about how you transition from being a solo developer, you know, someone who tinkers, who just collects ideas, who agonizes over custom apps.
Right. The classic overthinker.
Exactly. Moving from that into a true publisher of useful tools. We are talking about launching anywhere from 18 to upwards of 50 websites before you blow out those birthday candles.
Which sounds impossible, right?
Right.
But when you really synthesize the playbook you've provided, you start to realize this isn't just a coding challenge.
No, not at all. It's certainly not about buying a pile of like random domains and slapping up generic homepages.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Right. The overarching goal is the creation of a repeatable website factory.
A factory. I love that word for this.
Yeah, it's about launching useful web assets rapidly, measuring their actual traction in the real world, and then scaling the winners.
And simultaneously, and this is like the thread that ties the entire 132 days together, it's about executing a massive personal transformation.
Which is so key.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Because to accomplish a goal that massive, we have to completely redefine what it means to, you know, build a website.
Oh, absolutely.
If you approach 50 websites with a traditional developer's mindset, I mean, you will burn out by week three.
Oh, easily. Probably week two, honestly. The playbook calls this moving from being an idea collector to a publisher.
And that identity shift is really the foundation of the entire endeavor, right?
It is. The playbook draws this very stark, very intentional contrast between the hackathon mentality and the factory mentality.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, as a solo developer, you are probably intimately familiar with the hackathon mindset.
Oh, yeah. Late nights?
Exactly. It's intense. It's thrilling. It's fueled by, like, caffeine and adrenaline.
Just sprinting to the finish line?
Right. It relies on a temporary, heroic effort to get something, anything shipped over a frantic weekend.
But adrenaline isn't a sustainable fuel source for 132 days straight.
It absolutely is not. I mean, adrenaline crashes hard. A factory, on the other hand, is repeatable.
It's a system.
Right. A factory produces consistent, high-quality output without requiring the operator to be a hero every single time they pull the lever.
So how do you actually build that?
Well, to build this factory, the playbook outlines that you must adopt standard build stacks, standard quality bars, and standard review cadences.
So no starting from scratch every time.
Exactly. Every single repeated decision like what framework to use, where to host, how to track analytics, all of that is a tax on your cognitive load.
Yeah, decision fatigue is real.
It's so real. In a factory, those decisions are made once.
I really love that framing. Think of a monoropo, like a commercial kitchen.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. Instead of building a brand new kitchen with a new oven and new knives every single time you want to open a restaurant, all your ingredients, your spices, and your utensils are just in one giant, perfectly organized pantry.
Yes.
So when you want to spin up a new site, you just call the Next.js calculator components you've already pre-chopped, you change the CSS styling variables, and you serve the dish.
That commercial kitchen analogy captures the essence perfectly.
Wow.
And having that kitchen allows you to leverage a concept the playbook calls portfolio optionality.
Portfolio optionality. Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, most developers treat a new website like an only child.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They hover over it.
Right. They pour all their hopes, all their dreams and resources into it, expecting it to become a massive, life-changing business. And if it doesn't, they are devastated.
But in a portfolio approach, I mean, most of these small websites are not going to become big businesses.
No, they won't.
And that is actually a feature, not a bug.
Precisely. You aren't betting everything on one monolithic idea. You're just planting seeds.
So some grow, some don't.
Some of these sites might become lead generation assets for local businesses. Some might gain search traffic and become affiliate revenue generators.
Or maybe like a Microsoft product down the line.
Exactly. And many of them will simply be dead ends.
But here is where the psychology really has to change. Because the playbook is very clear that a quote unquote failed site isn't a failure if it was cheap and fast to build.
Right.
It's just data. Like a small site that fails quickly is just a $20 lesson in what not to build. It's cheap data.
That's a great way to look at it.
On the flip side, a small site that generates just one single lead, I mean, that is a massive signal. It proves the concept.
But you only get that cheap data if you adhere strictly to what the playbook calls the rule of ruthless scope.
Ruthless scope. That sounds intense.
It is. And this is where so many developers trip up. Like, they want to build these comprehensive systems.
Oh, for sure. Feature creep.
Exactly. But every single site coming out of your factory must start with a tiny laser-focused promise.
Okay, so let's look at an example. A bad bespoke promise would be trying to build, let's say, the complete guide to home improvement.
Oh yeah, that's terrible for this model.
Right. That's a massive encyclopedia, requires hundreds of pages, months of writing, and it puts this huge cognitive load on the user who's just trying to navigate it.
Yeah, they'll just bounce.
So a better, ruthlessly scoped promise is a simple calculator to help homeowners estimate if their HVAC replacement, quote, is a scam.
Yes, because that scoped promise solves one specific immediate pain point.
That's so direct.
Or instead of building a site that reviews, like, the best AI tools for everyone, which is way too broad.
Right, way too competitive.
Exactly. You build a site specifically offering AI workflow templates for solo real estate agents to write listing descriptions.
Oh, that's super niche.
The narrower promise always wins in this factory model. I mean, it's easier to ship, it's immediately understandable to a visitor, and it's easier to monetize.
And from a technical standpoint, has to be much easier to rank in search engines, right?
Yeah.
Because your relevance is just perfectly concentrated.
Exactly. You're not trying to boil the ocean.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, and I do have to push back a little bit here.
Go for it.
If we're using AI to build this fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to stamp out 50 sites, how do we avoid the trap of just creating low-value scaled spam?
That is the million-dollar question.
Because Google absolutely hates programmatic slop. And users bounce immediately if a site feels hollow. So how do we build fast without just building garbage?
This is perhaps the most critical technical safeguard in the entire playbook. The documentation addresses this head on with something called the minimum useful launch standard.
Okay, the minimum useful launch standard.
Yeah, you cannot confuse speed with slop. While AI is an amazing tool to draft code and outline structures faster, the playbook explicitly mandates that every single site must provide real, tangible value.
So no generic auto-generated junk.
None. There is a 10-point criteria list for what counts as a quote-unquote launch, and it serves as this ultimate quality control checkpoint.
Well, let's break those criteria down, because this is really the guardrail keeping the whole factory legitimate.
Okay, so the first two criteria are pretty foundational. You need a live domain or subdomain and a homepage with a clear promise.
A clear promise.
Yeah, where a visitor knows exactly who this helps within 5 seconds of the page loading.
5 seconds. That is tight.
Yeah.
But I guess it forces you to strip away all the marketing fluff.
Exactly.
If I land on the HVAC calculator, the headline better be, check your HVAC.
Quote.
Now, not like a long essay about the history of air conditioning.
Right. Nobody cares about the history of AC when their house is 90 degrees.
So true. What's next?
Criterion 3 requires actual substance. You need at least 5 genuinely useful pages or one highly functional interactive tool.
Like that calculator or maybe a diagnostic quiz.
Right. Criterion 4 is basic SEO hygiene. So proper title tags, meta descriptions, and XML sitemaps.
Which brings us to criterion 5, and this is the big one, right? The human quality pass.
Oh, this cannot be skipped. The human quality pass means you, the actual operator, have manually reviewed the output.
You actually read the words.
Yes. There are no AI hallucinations. There are no fake, generated user reviews.
No John Doe from California saying, great tool.
Exactly. None of that.
Yeah.
There are no fabricated prices or invented statistics if Google's spam policies catch wind of scaled content abuse.
Which means like pages generated solely to manipulate rankings with no added value.
Exactly. If they catch that, your entire domain portfolio could be penalized.
Wow. So the core question you always have to ask yourself when running this quality pass is basically, what real-world decision does this help a person make?
Yes.
And if the answer is none, the site just doesn't ship.
Exactly. You are building decision support tools. Nothing else.
Got it.
Moving on, criteria 6 and 7 require analytics and Google Search Console to be fully connected. Because remember, we need that cheap data we talked about.
Right. You can't measure what you don't track.
Exactly. Criterion 8 demands a clear conversion action. So an email sign up, a quote, request form, or, you know, a click out to an affiliate.
Something to actually generate value.
Right. Criterion 9 is a compliance footer with privacy policies and the necessary disclaimers.
Super important.
And finally, Criterion 10 is a one-page launch log tracking your hypothesis for why the site exists in the first place.
Okay, so we have the mindset down. We understand the factory model, the ruthless scope, and the strict launch standards to prevent us from just pumping out spam.
Right.
But what exactly are we manufacturing? Like, we can't just wake up and guess at what people want. We need to look at the blueprints.
And the blueprints provided in the playbook are highly, highly specific. You are not reinventing the wheel with every launch.
Thank goodness.
The strategy provides 6 distinct site templates that your factory is perfectly optimized to produce.
Let's walk through them because I think this really grounds the strategy in reality. Template 1 is calculator sites. We touched on this earlier.
Yeah, these help a visitor estimate, compare, or forecast costs.
So a great example here would be a first-year pet ownership cost calculator.
Oh, that's a perfect example.
Right, because someone adopting a dog has, like, no idea what to budget for vet visits, food, crate training, or pet insurance.
It's overwhelming.
It really is.
Yeah.
So a clean, interactive calculator solves an immediate anxiety for them.
Exactly. Then template 2 is local lead gen sites. These are built to help people in a specific geographic location find urgent services.
So, like, emergency roof repair in Austin.
Right. Template 3 is directory sites. These organize scattered resources, like a directory of dog-friendly apartments in a specific metro area.
But with directories, the playbook is incredibly strict about curation, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just scrape an existing list off Google Maps and hit publish.
Oh, no. Scraping is exactly what leads to those spam penalties we just discussed.
Right.
If you build a directory, value addition is mandatory. You have to add custom filters, your own editorial notes, or specific decision guidance that just doesn't exist anywhere else.
It has to be better than a basic search.
Exactly. Template 4 is template and prompt library sites. For instance, a site that gives away a bundle of specialized client intake forms for life coaches.
Oh, very useful.
Template 5 is comparison and buyer guide sites. This is classic decision support helping users choose between complex products.
So think like portable ACs versus central ACs for older historic homes.
Yes. And the final template, number 6, is the newsletter first site.
Okay, tell me about that one.
The newsletter first site is brilliant in its simplicity. It's essentially a high converting landing page with a few deep dive starter posts, and it's designed entirely to build an owned audience right away.
Okay, so you trade immediate monetization for long-term direct access to a specific niche.
Exactly, you're building a list.
Okay, so those are the structural blueprints, the shapes the websites will take, but what about the actual topics? Where is the demand?
Well, the playbook highlights 10 high probability niche clusters.
And what really jumps out to me when looking at them is a recurring theme. They all revolve around urgent, emotionally resonant, or commercial problems.
Yes, and the playbook actually connects these niches to actual macroeconomic and demographic trends, which is why the probability of traction is so high.
That makes sense.
Let's look at niche cluster 1, senior care and aging in place.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The demographic data is staggering. The U.S. Census Bureau shows this massive growth in the 65-plus population, and by 2030, all baby boomers will be over 65.
That's a huge wave of people.
It is, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects massive, sustained growth for home health aides.
Which creates an incredibly urgent, highly emotional category. I mean, you have millions of adult children who are suddenly thrust into the position of making complex medical and financial care decisions for their aging parents.
And they are completely overwhelmed.
Right. A dense Wikipedia article about gerontology doesn't help them at all.
No, it just adds to the cognitive load. They don't have time for that.
Right.
This is where a fast win idea from the playbook comes in. A parent home care checklist.
Oh, I like that.
It's an interactive, step-by-step tool that helps an adult child decide whether a parent actually needs in-home support, complete with a printable list of questions to ask a home care agency.
So it reduces anxiety by providing structure.
Exactly.
But I have to play devil's advocate here because this does raise a red flag for me.
Sure.
If you are rapidly building tools for senior care, or even other niches mentioned like small business cybersecurity.
Right.
Isn't there a massive liability risk there? Like, if we are stamping out sites in 2 days, how do we avoid giving dangerous medical, legal, or financial advice?
It is a totally critical concern, and the playbook mitigates this through two main mechanisms. First, the site scoring model, which we will discuss in just a moment.
Okay.
And second, a mandatory disclaimer block. The cardinal rule of the factor is that you never, ever give medical or legal advice.
Period.
Period. You frame these sites exclusively as organizational tools.
So it's really all about the packaging and the promise.
Yes. You aren't diagnosing a senior citizen's dementia. You are providing an administrative list of symptom tracking questions for the family to take to a licensed doctor.
Oh, I see.
You aren't doing a certified legal cybersecurity audit for a small business. You are providing an educational checklist of standard IT practices.
Got it. So you keep the sites educational, compliance light, and heavily, heavily disclaimed.
Exactly. Which brings us to the site scoring model.
Right, let's get into that.
Before you even open your code editor, before you register a single domain, you have to score your idea. This prevents you from wasting a whole week on a bad concept.
So how does the scoring work?
The model uses a 1-to-5 scale across 7 specific metrics.
Let's analyze those 7 metrics because they really are the gatekeepers of the factory.
Okay, metric 1, pain intensity.
So is the user experiencing a real acute problem?
Exactly. Like, my AC stopped working in July is a 5. It is urgent.
You need that fixed right now.
Right. But I'm curious about the history of architecture is a 1.
Yeah, nobody is paying to solve that urgently.
Right.
Metric 2 is buyer intent. Is there a natural purchase or commercial transaction attached to solving this pain?
Right. If someone is looking for dog insurance calculators, they are preparing to spend money. That's a 5.
Metric 3, build speed. Can you realistically launch the minimum useful version of this in 1 to 3 days using your existing components?
Yes. If it requires a massive custom backend with a giant database, it's a 1. Pass on it.
What's metric 4?
Metric 4 is differentiation. Can you build an interactive tool instead of just a boring wall of text?
Right, something that actually engages them.
Exactly. Metric 5, monetization fit. Is the path to revenue obvious and natural? Does it natively lend itself to local lead generation or affiliate links?
Metric 6, maintenance burden. I think this one is huge.
Oh, it's massive.
Will this require you to update the data every single day to remain relevant? Or is it an evergreen tool?
Right, like a stock market ticker is a 1. That's a nightmare to maintain.
But a roof repair area calculator is a 5 because, you know, geometry doesn't change.
Exactly. Math is forever. And finally, metric 7, which we just touched on, risk.
Does this create legal or medical liability?
Right. And the strict decision rule of the factory is that you only launch ideas with a combined score of 25 or higher out of the possible 35.
So you are ruthlessly prioritizing ideas that have high pain, high buyer intent, fast build speed, and low maintenance.
Exactly. That scoring model explains exactly why the playbook pushes you toward niches like home services or pets.
Because the pet industry is practically recession-proof.
Oh, totally. A first-year dog cost calculator for apartment dwellers solves a high-pain problem, it has high buyer intent, it's easily built with Next.js, and it's a perfect candidate for affiliate monetization with pet insurance companies.
It's literally the perfect factory product.
It really is. It also clarifies why the playbook suggests building AI workflows for specific professions.
Right. You aren't building a generic intro to AI blog.
No, you are building a site offering AI prompts for roofing contractors to write client follow-up emails.
That is incredibly targeted.
Yeah. The pain is high because roofers hate doing admin work.
Who doesn't?
Right. The build speed is fast and the differentiation is excellent.
So to execute these blueprints, the playbook relies on 2 specific technical stacks to keep the factory humming.
Right.
Stack A is designed for static, content-first sites, heavily utilizing Astro, Markdown, and Tailwind CSS.
Astro is a brilliant choice here because its default behavior is to ship zero JavaScript to the client.
Which means it's super fast.
It keeps the sites incredibly lightweight and lightning fast. Think about it. When a user on a weak 4G connection is standing in their flooded basement searching for emergency plumbing, an Astro site loads instantly.
And that speed directly translates to better Google rankings and lower bounce rates.
Exactly.
And then Stack B is for the interactive tools, right? The calculators and directories.
Yes. Stack B utilizes Next.js, Vercel for hosting, and Supabase if a backend database is required. Next.js allows you to build highly interactive React components for your calculators and complex lead generation forms. And both of these stacks rely on GitHub for version control and lightweight analytics platforms like Fathom or Google Analytics 4.
Okay, so let's take a breath and zoom out a bit.
Good idea.
We have the publisher mindset. We know the 6 blueprints. We have the 7-point scoring model to grade our ideas. And we have our Astro and Next.js commercial kitchen all set up.
We've got the raw materials.
Exactly. We have our raw materials. Now, we need the actual production schedule to take us from today to September 20th. This is where the vision actually hits the pavement.
This is really the core of the playbook. You have exactly 132 days, which translates to about 19 calendar weeks.
Right.
And look, a grand plan without a timeline is just a hallucination. The playbook structures these 19 weeks like a product season, broken down into 5 highly distinct phases.
Let's walk through them. Phase 1 is called Foundation and Factory Setup. This covers days 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting here is that the goal is not to ship 10 sites in week 1.
No. If you try to ship 10 sites in week 1, you will end up building 10 bespoke, unscalable messes.
Which defeats the whole purpose.
Totally. The output target for phase 1 is just 1 or 2 sites. Your entire focus is on building the machine before you feed it ideas.
So you are setting up that monorepo.
Right. You are establishing your basic design system, your reusable Tailwind components, your standardized privacy policy footers, and your analytics tracking dashboard.
And the success metric for phase 1 is, honestly, it's a beautiful hurdle.
It is.
By the end of day 7, you should be able to create a new site from a template, change the branding variables, add 3 pages, deploy it to Vercel, connect the analytics, submit the XML sitemap to Google, and publish it all in under 2 hours.
Yes. If it takes you 10 hours to launch a simple 5-page site, you do not have a factory. You just have a handcrafted workshop.
Right. The 2-hour launch is the proof that your plumbing actually works.
Thanks.
Okay, so once that plumbing is verified, we hit the accelerator. Phase 2, velocity and range finding. This spans days 8 through 35.
Phase 2 is all about testing categories. The output target here is launching 8 to 12 additional sites.
That's a huge jump.
It is. But crucially, you do not launch 12 versions of the same idea. You don't build 12 different pet calculators.
Right. You need variety.
You launch across several models to see what bites. You build 2 local lead gen sites, 2 calculator sites, an AI workflow site, and a directory.
You are optimizing purely for speed and learning at this point.
Yes.
This is where you have to suppress the developer's urge to obsess over perfect design. Like, you don't need a custom animated logo. You just need the tool to be useful, safe, and live.
Exactly. By day 35, you should have between 10 and 14 total sites live on the internet.
Which is amazing.
It is. And that brings us to what is arguably the most dangerous part of the entire 132-day sprint. Phase 3. Validation and first optimization, covering days 36 to 70.
Okay, why is it the most dangerous phase?
Because phase 3 is where the psychological friction peaks. Most creators fail right here because they fall into one of 2 traps.
What are they?
Trap 1. They blindly keep shipping new sites without ever looking at the data, just treating it like a pure numbers game.
Just throwing spaghetti at the wall forever.
Right. Trap 2. They freeze. They look at a site that isn't getting traffic, they panic, and they spend 3 weeks over-optimizing the CSS on a site that literally nobody wants.
Oof. That's a classic mistake. So how does the playbook force you through that friction?
It forces a strict balance. In phase 3, your output target is to build another 8 to 12 sites, maintaining the factory's momentum.
Okay.
But you are now required to evaluate your existing portfolio using the Sunday review framework. Kill, pivot, maintain, or scale.
Let's look at a hypothetical Sunday review.
Okay.
You open up Google Search Console and Fathom Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that HVAC calculator you built back in phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
What are the signals you're actually looking for?
You look at indexing and impressions. Like, which sites actually got indexed by Google? Which are getting organic clicks? Did any of them generate an email sign up or a lead?
And based on those hard numbers, You categorize every single site in the portfolio.
Exactly. You scale a site if it's getting real impressions and solving a problem you can easily expand on.
So maybe adding more cities to a local lead gen site.
Exactly. You maintain a site if it's indexed, but it's just too early to judge.
Because SEO takes time.
Right. You just let it sit and gather more data. Then you pivot if visitors are arriving, but they're immediately bouncing.
So the traffic is there, but your call to action is wrong, or the tool is confusing.
Yes. And finally, you kill a site if it has zero traction, zero indexing, and requires maintenance that you just don't want to do.
But let's talk about the emotional reality of killing a site.
Oh, it's tough.
It is. If I just spent 3 days building a really elegant AI coding prompt library-like, the UI is beautiful, the dark mode toggle is absolutely perfect, but the data says nobody cares.
Yeah.
How hard is it to just walk away?
It is incredibly difficult for an artisan to walk away. But the playbook redefines the word kill.
How so?
Killing a site doesn't mean you log into Vercel and delete the repository. It doesn't mean erasing the domain.
Okay, phew.
Right. Killing simply means you freeze your time allocation, you stop working on it, you divert your energy to the sites that are actually showing life.
That reframing is so powerful. You aren't emotionally attached to the individual domain. You're attached to the success of the factory as a whole.
Exactly.
A quote-unquote killed site isn't a failure. It is just a finished experiment that provided cheap data.
That's the perfect way to look at it. And by pruning the dead ends, you free up cognitive space for phase four, monetization and compounding.
And this spans days 71 to 105.
Right. The goal here shifts. The output target slows down slightly to just 6 to 10 new sites, but the emphasis shifts heavily toward turning traffic and trust into actual revenue on your winning sites.
So for every site that you categorize as scale or pivot in phase three, you now install a definitive monetization path.
Exactly. And the playbook provides specific models depending on the site type.
Right. So if you have a comparison or buyer guide site that is getting traffic, you integrate structured affiliate links.
Yes.
If you have an HVAC or roofing calculator, you integrate rigorous lead capture forms to sell those leads to local contractors.
Spot on.
And if you built a highly valuable template library, you implement Stripe payment links to sell, like, a $19 PDF bundle of the raw files.
The underlying philosophy here is that the best monetization always fits the user's natural next step.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if a homeowner is using your roof repair calculator, the natural next step is not to bombard them with a generic display ad for a car company.
Right. They don't care about a new car right now.
The natural next step is a prominent, helpful button that says, request a verified quote from a local roofer.
You are solving their problem while generating a qualified lead. It's a win-win.
Exactly. Which brings us to the final stretch of the roadmap, phase five, birthday portfolio polish, days 106 to 132.
The finish line is September 20th.
At this point, the factory floor slows down. You only launch new sites if the ideas are absolute no-brainers.
So what are you doing with your time?
This phase is all about consolidation and presentation. You take the top 5 to 8 performing websites in your entire portfolio and you polish them.
You fix broken links, refine the copy.
You ensure the mobile experience is flawless.
You build a public portfolio page aggregating your winners.
Yeah.
And, crucially, you write your birthday reflection post.
What I built and learned before turning 50.
Yeah. You walk into your 50th birthday, not with a pile of half-finished local files, but with a coherent digital portfolio, live URLs, actual revenue signals, and a hardened, repeatable system you can utilize for the next decade of your life.
It is an incredible roadmap. The five phases makes total logical sense.
They really do.
Yeah.
But let's be real for a second.
Really?
A 132-day macro plan looks fantastic on a whiteboard.
Oh, yeah. Always does.
But a grand plan is completely useless if you wake up on a random Tuesday morning, stare at a blinking cursor, and don't know what to actually do that day.
True.
We need to shrink this massive timeline down to the daily and weekly engine.
Because strategy is nothing without a rhythm. If you rely on daily inspiration to decide what to work on, you will fail.
Inspiration is way too fickle.
It is. The playbook establishes a very strict, non-negotiable weekly rhythm to maintain momentum without burning out. It assigns a specific theme to every single day of the week.
Let's walk through a hypothetical week three to see how this engine actually runs.
Let's do it.
Okay, it's Monday. Monday is decide and design. What happens?
On Monday, you do not touch your code editor.
Wow.
You review your scoring spreadsheet. You pick the highest scoring idea for the week. Let's say it's that Austin HVAC repair lead gen site.
Okay.
You define the user pane. You select the next.js template from your monorepo. You draft the basic copy. And you write the launch log. All the cognitive heavy lifting of what to build is done on Monday.
So when Tuesday rolls around, and Tuesday is build the skeleton.
Right. On Tuesday, because the decisions were already made yesterday, you just execute.
You don't have to think. You just do.
Exactly. You clone the repo. You change the branding variables to match your HVAC theme. You build out the 5 core pages. You connect your Fathom analytics. And you set up the XML sitemap. The plumbing is done.
And Wednesday is the core of the week. Build the useful thing.
This is where you actually build the value. For the HVAC site, this is the day you write the logic for the, quote, calculator, or build out the specific conditional logic for the lead capture form.
You focus entirely on building the utility, not writing endless SEO filler articles.
Exactly.
Then Thursday is content and quality pass.
This is where you add the supporting FAQ cages. You run that mandatory human quality pass we talked about earlier.
So you check your facts, strip out any AI fluff.
You add your necessary compliance disclaimers, and you rigorously test the forms on a mobile device.
Friday is launch and distribute. You hit deploy on Vercel.
Right. You run a live test of the forms to make sure they actually work. You submit the sitemap to Google Search Console to request indexing, and you share the URL in 1 or 2 highly relevant online communities.
The site is live?
It's out there in the world.
Saturday is a later day. Review and improve.
Yeah, you fix the inevitable bugs you missed on Friday. You tweak the homepage headline for better clarity based on how it looks live. Maybe you hunt for one easy backlink opportunity.
And finally, Sunday is reset. This is the administrative day.
Right. You look at the analytics for all the sites in your portfolio. You score new signals. You decide what to kill, pivot, maintain, or scale.
You pick next week's idea.
And most importantly, you mentally reset for the upcoming Monday.
That weekly cadence is just, it's a machine. It removes the guesswork.
It totally does.
But zooming in even further, let's look at the daily cadence. How many hours a day does this actually take?
Well, the playbook outlines 2 distinct types of workdays, the 90-minute minimum and the 3-hour power block.
Okay, the 90-minute minimum.
The psychology behind this distinction is vital for a 132-day sprint. You will have busy days. Life happens.
Oh, yeah.
On a busy day, your only goal is to protect a strict 90-minute minimum block. 15 minutes to review your plan, 60 minutes of deep, uninterrupted coding or writing, and 15 minutes to log your progress.
It prevents that awful illusion of being busy all day.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Right. You know, when you sit at your desk for 6 hours, clicking between tabs, answering emails, and at the end of the day, you haven't actually shipped anything.
Yes. The 90-minute block forces ruthless prioritization. You can't tinker with logo colors if you only have 60 minutes to build the calculator logic.
Exactly. Now, on a strong day, when you have the energy and the time, you expand that to a 3-hour power block. But you never drop below the 90-minute minimum.
Never.
Which brings us to the ultimate safety net of the entire playbook. The real magic here, the thing that ensures you reach your 50th birthday having actually succeeded, is the no zero days rule.
A zero day is a day where the challenge receives 0 forward motion. It is the enemy of momentum.
Right.
The playbook states that you do not need heroic output every single day, but you must have some output.
And the playbook is very generous about what constitutes an acceptable action to avoid a zero day.
It is.
Like, it doesn't have to be launching a site. Acceptable actions include adding 1 single FAQ page, fixing 1 broken CSS bug,
submitting 1 sitemap to Google,
reviewing 1 site's metrics in Search Console, or even just sending 1 single outreach email for a backlink.
It's basically a psychological trick to keep you engaged.
Think of it like a furnace in a house during winter. The no zero days rule is like keeping the tiny pilot light on.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. You don't need the house heated to 80 degrees every single day, blasting the gas. But as long as that tiny little blue flame is going, even if it's just fixing 1 typo, the system is alive.
Yeah.
If you let the pilot light go out, you have to go all the way down to the basement, bleed the lines, strike a match, and restart the entire massive system from cold.
Which takes so much effort.
Exactly. Keeping the pilot light on takes almost no effort, but it preserves all your momentum.
That pilot light analogy is brilliant because momentum is built by keeping tiny promises to yourself, not by waiting around for perfect creative energy.
But realistically, we have to acknowledge human nature here.
Yeah.
What happens when you inevitably miss a day? Like, you get the flu, your day job blows up, a family emergency happens, and you have 0 day.
It happens to everyone.
A lot of people, when they break a streak, they just abandon the entire project in a wave of guilt. How do you bounce back from that?
This is precisely why the Sunday reset day is built into the schedule. It acts as a structural shock absorber for the chaos of real life.
Oh, I see.
If you get sick on a Thursday and miss your QA pass, you don't abandon the 132-day challenge. You don't label yourself a failure.
Right.
On Sunday, you sit down, you review your metrics, you objectively forgive the missed day without emotional baggage, and you make a renewed commitment for the upcoming Monday.
You attach your identity to the resilience of the factory's process, not the fragility of a perfect daily streak. I love that. So we've built the factory, we've established the blueprints and the scoring model, we've set the 132-day roadmap. We've got the daily engine running with our 90-minute blocks and our pilot light momentum.
You have a lot done.
But there is one final crucial element.
Because
if all you do is work 90-minute coding blocks in isolation for 132 days straight, there's a serious risk to the human being operating machine.
A huge risk.
Which brings us to our final section, section 5, the holistic sprint.
This is arguably the most important section of the entire playbook, and it's what separates this from just, you know, a generic coding tutorial.
Yeah, this isn't just about code.
Right. It outlines the secondary, deeper mission of the challenge. This is not just a coding sprint to see how fast you can type. Turning 50 is a profound milestone.
It's a huge deal.
It is about designing the architecture of your next decade. The playbook includes a very stark warning. Do not let the website sprint consume the life sprint.
To prevent you from burning your life down while building your websites, the playbook requires you to track 4 personal categories alongside your website metrics.
Category 1 is body. You are required to track your daily physical habits.
That means tracking your daily walks, like the one you're on right now, hitting a daily sleep target, tracking your water intake, and noting a subjective daily energy score.
Because if your body fails, the factory shuts down. It's just a biological reality.
Totally.
Category 2 is money. This involves tracking the sites launched, the revenue generated, the leads captured, and your hosting expenses.
The goal is to build real assets that provide leverage and work for you long after September 20th.
Exactly. Category 3 is relationships, and this is where the playbook gets highly specific.
Oh, yeah.
It requires tracking weekly actions.
Yeah.
One intentional family action, one specific friend reach out, one mentor conversation, and one I'm not disappearing into work. Check in with your immediate circle.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here because when I first read this, it felt really strange to me.
It does feel a bit odd at first.
Doesn't putting call a friend or do a family activity on a literal KPI spreadsheet right next to submit XML sitemap make your personal life feel a bit transactional?
Right.
Doesn't it feel a bit robotic?
It is a completely valid concern, and it does feel counterintuitive at first. But what we know about human psychology and cognitive load explains exactly why this is necessary.
How so?
Intention often requires structure. When high-achieving human beings are under immense sustained cognitive pressure, like, say, trying to launch 50 websites in 4 months, we naturally default to the path of least resistance to conserve energy.
Right.
And for builders, that default path is almost always isolation. You put your head down, you disappear into your monitors, and you justify ignoring your family because you are, quote, building for the future.
You become a ghost in your own house.
Exactly. Tracking a friend reach out with the same rigorous discipline as your analytics isn't robotic. It is a vital protective guardrail for your humanity. It forces you to look up from the screen. It ensures that when you arrive at your 50th birthday, you are not just commercially successful, but you are actually surrounded by the people you love, celebrating with you.
A protective guardrail for your humanity.
Yeah.
That completely changes how I view that tracker.
It's powerful.
And the final category, category 4, is identity. This is an introspective weekly tracking practice.
Right. Asking yourself questions like, what did I ship this week? What new technical or marketing skill did I learn? What distractions did I successfully avoid?
What kind of operator am I becoming?
Yes. And the ultimate grounding question, what would make the 50-year-old version of me proud?
Because the deepest mission woven into this 132-day challenge is a permanent identity change.
It really is.
It is about crossing the chasm from being a developer who endlessly tinkers with half-finished local servers to becoming a publisher who consistently ships value to the public.
It is about evolving from an overthinker paralyzed by perfectionism into a machine of measurable, pragmatic action.
Let's bring this all together as you finish up your walk today. We have covered massive ground, and you have a monumental journey ahead.
A huge journey.
We talked about adopting the industrialist publisher mindset and leaving the exhausting hackathon heroics behind.
We explored the specific blueprints using Astro and Next.js to build calculators, directories, and lead gen tools in high-paying niches like senior care and home services.
We walked through the rigorous 7-point site scoring model to protect your time.
We mapped out the 5-phase roadmap, taking you from setting up your foundational plumbing through the dangerous validation phase where you learn to ruthlessly kill bad ideas, all the way to your birthday portfolio polish.
We locked in the daily engine of 90-minute blocks and the absolute necessity of the pilot light no 0 days rule.
And finally, we established the holistic guardrails to ensure your physical health and your relationships actually survive the sprint.
Over the next 132 days, you are going to be tracking up to 50 sites. You will be tracking search impressions, leads, conversion rates, and revenue.
Yep.
You are going to build an incredibly impressive digital portfolio.
You definitely are. But there is one final provocative thought I want you to consider as you finish this walk and head back to your desk.
Okay.
What if the most valuable asset you build between now and September 20th isn't digital at all?
See more about that.
What if the true product of this website factory isn't the HVAC calculator or the real estate prompt library? What if the actual product is the definitive, undeniable proof to yourself that you are no longer just an idea collector?
Wow.
What if the goal is proving that you are an unstoppable executor? If you can build a system that reliably turns vague ideas into live revenue-generating reality in just 132 days, what does that new identity unlock for the next 50 years of your life?
That is the ultimate deliverable right there. You aren't just building 50 websites. You are building a fundamentally new version of yourself.
Yeah. So finish your walk. Get a glass of water. Sit down at your desk, open up the playbook, and start phase one. Build the factory. The blueprint is in your hands. The clock is ticking down to September 20th, and the path is completely clear. We'll see you at the finish line.